As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show. I'm your host and fearless leader, Mickey Garris. It's great to be here today with you guys. Hope you guys are doing well. What a week we are having. First of all, got to tell you, man, does it feel like the beginning of December? There's way too much blue sky and sun, and it's a little bit too warm. I know it's starting to get a little bit more chilly, but man, we had a couple days this week that was just, it was crazy warm, and the nights have been warm. The rain just kind of disappeared. We started out, you know, I was optimistic that we were going to get the water that we needed. And, you know, we had a couple of weeks of decent rain and it was feeling kind of wet, but we just haven't had any more since. And it's just really dry. I don't remember a December starting out quite like this. It is just these bluebird days. So I know they say next week there's a chance we might get some snow. I highly doubt that, but it should be getting a little bit more cold you know, somewhere they might get some snow up in the mountains. Lord knows the mountains need the snow. Normally, my family, we like to ski, and normally we look forward to Thanksgiving weekend. Is you can more or less count on the different ski resorts here in Oregon to be opened up by Thanksgiving weekend. And, you know, again, early on, we got a little dusting of snow in the beginning up in the hills, and then the warmer weather hit and the rains came and it just melted it all away. And I don't think there's a speck of snow up there in the mountains right now. I don't think, unless December really pays off, I don't think they're going to be opening those ski resorts until into January maybe. So obviously a lot can happen, but let's keep our fingers crossed, because more so than the rain that we see down here on the valley floor, we know it's the snowpack that really is what keeps our reservoirs full and supplies our water. And that snowpack is what's the most important. And that's what's been really hurting this last 10 years. And so right now we don't have any snowpack to speak of whatsoever. So let's keep our fingers crossed and keep praying that the weather does what it's supposed to do. Man, we live in Oregon, right? It's supposed to be wet and nasty winters. It, you know, it should be. It's dark all day long. So give us the nastiness so we can get the snowpack where it needs to be and get the water that we need, and hopefully have a better summer when it comes to the fires. A lot less fire danger because things are a little bit greener and not so dried. Because if we have another year like we had this last couple years, if we have another dry winter, oh my gosh, it's going to be brutal this summer. And we're starting to run out of things to burn, and it's getting really scary, friends. So hope you guys are doing well. Remember, if you want to get a hold of me, you can always shoot me over an email. I like hearing from you guys. Mickey@KSLM.news. That's M-I-C-K-Y @KSLM.news. And I love reading the emails. I don't, honestly, I don't have time to respond back to each and every one of them. I will try to respond back, but I do take time to read them, and I like getting your feedback and thoughts and opinions, and it helps me kind of gauge where to go. So that's Mickey@KSLM.news. A couple of things I do want to make sure that we cover this show is I haven't done a lot of talking about Alec Baldwin. I think he's a jackass. I think he's just a horrible person. Okay, I'm just coming right out of the gate and telling you that I have bias against him. I have been convinced for several years that he's a horrible person. His you know, antics that we've seen over and over again throughout the years of just how he treats people, how he speaks to people. I don't know if you guys remember, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, they got that recording of him talking to his daughter on the phone and the things that he was saying. And he kind of has a history of drama and not treating people well and just being kind of a big baby going off on these, you know, just whiny, you know, just he's just a jerk, for lack of better words. But so for whatever reason, he still is popular in Hollywood and he seems to stay pretty busy doing his acting thing. I think if he could keep his mouth shut and keep his politics out of the way, keep his opinions from interjecting everything, I think he's a decent actor. I used to like some of his earlier stuff. But what happened, you know, this last month with the shooting that took place on one of the movie sets, or he pointed a gun at, a couple people apparently, and somehow the gun discharged and we know the story, you know, the director got struck and died and another person was injured and he's been tight-lipped about it ever since. But this week, if you guys seen the interview, the first interview that he did, he swears up and down. Number one, he says, I would never point a gun at anybody. Well, that's wrong because regardless of what happened, whether the gun discharged magically by itself or you pulled the trigger, somebody got struck. The only way for somebody to get struck with the projectile that comes out the end of a muzzle. So the muzzle is the barrel on the firearm. The end of the barrel is the muzzle. So rule number one, you always keep the muzzle pointed in a safe direction. So you never point it at anything that you don't intend to shoot. But so somebody got struck from this projectile. So the bullet that traveled out the end of the muzzle, that only happens if you point the muzzle at somebody. It doesn't happen. If you had the muzzle pointed in a safe direction, nobody would get struck. So that's lie number one. He clearly pointed the gun somewhere where he probably should not have pointed it. Okay. Number two, if you have a firearm in your hands, you are responsible. You are the only person responsible. Nobody else but you is responsible. Okay. I don't care what somebody tells you. I don't care what somebody shows you. I don't care if you paid some prop company thousands and thousands of dollars to make sure things are safe. If you have a real firearm and it goes into your hands, you are solely responsible for what happens with that firearm and how that firearm's handled and whether or not the trigger is squeezed or not. If it's in your hands, you are responsible for it. So if you get a firearm, you check it. You open up the action. If you open the action on a firearm, I don't care what kind of firearm it is. If you open the action on a firearm, it will not discharge. It mechanically cannot discharge. So on a revolver, you would take the cylinder out. You'd pop that cylinder out to the side. It cannot discharge. Okay. So you open the action and then you check it. You visually and physically check it and you look to see if it's loaded or unloaded. When I say visually and physically, it's because it's not enough just for me to look inside a cylinder. I always take my finger and I rub it over the cylinder because I can feel it with my thumb if there's a round sitting in the chamber or not. Okay? That's how you clear a firearm. And remember, as long as that action's opened, that's better than the safety. Don't ever trust a safety on a firearm, my friends. A safety on a firearm is a mechanical device that can and will fail. That's the truth. That's the reality of it. So firearms are mechanical devices and parts will start to wear out. Sometimes they don't 100% function the way they're supposed to. Okay? A safety is a mechanical device. We know that mechanical devices sometimes don't function the way they're supposed to. So you don't ever trust the safety on a firearm, which goes back to what? Rule number one. You always point the muzzle in a safe direction. Why? Because if the muzzle is pointed in a safe direction, my friends, even if the safety doesn't function the right way. If you have some type of a mechanical issue and that safety does not work, if it fails you and that gun discharges, if the muzzle is pointed in a safe direction, you're not going to hurt anybody. So you have the gun in your hands. You open up the action. The action, like I said, is better than the safety. Once that action is opened, the gun physically cannot discharge. And that's how you check the gun. That's how you would handle the gun. If you are handling the gun with an open action, it's never going to discharge on you. Okay. Now, to get a gun to fire, it's, you know, a few things have to happen. So the gun has to be loaded up. So there's got to be a round in the chamber. Okay. The gun has to be cocked somehow. So I believe this was a revolver, a double action revolver, I believe, that he was holding in his hand. So double action means that there's a I believe the revolver he had on the set was a single action. So I'll explain real quick the difference between double action and single action for those of you that might not understand it fully. So a revolver is a gun that you have a cylinder that you put the cartridges in. And every time you shoot, that cylinder is going to rotate and it's going to put a fresh cartridge back in line with the barrel and the hammer, the device that slams down onto the cartridge and causes it to discharge. So a double action revolver is a more modern style of revolver. And it basically, it's called a double action because two things are happening when you squeeze the trigger. When you squeeze that trigger on a double action revolver, that is actually causing the hammer to cock back and release, which discharges that firearm. So your finger is doing everything. You squeeze the trigger, pulling back that trigger also cocks the firearm and releases that hammer, causing that gun to discharge. On a single action firearm, it doesn't work that way. So you have to manually cock it. So you're going to take your hand or your thumb and you're going to manually cock that hammer back. And after it's manually cocked back, then if you squeeze the trigger, it's going to discharge. If you don't manually cock that hammer back on a single action revolver and you squeeze the trigger, that trigger won't go anywhere. It's locked. It can't do anything and it will not discharge. So this takes me back to the various stories that we've heard from Mr. Baldwin and frankly, the lies that he has said. Number one, he claims it wasn't his responsibility. He flat out said he doesn't feel responsible. It was somebody else. Bull crap, Mr. Baldwin. The gun was in your hand. You are solely responsible. Don't put this on anybody else. This tragedy, this horrible mistake is absolutely yours and yours alone. Now, people are calling this an accident. And my friends in the firearm industry, I never teach that an accident is possible with firearms. It doesn't happen. There's no such thing as accidents with a firearm. You know why? Because if something bad happens, it's because you were negligent. You are negligent. There is not an accident with the firearm. It's negligence. Baldwin was negligent with this firearm. So first of all, he says, I don't point the guns at anybody. I'd never do that. BS, he pointed the gun at somebody. Okay. Then he says it's not his responsibility. It wasn't his fault. It was somebody else's job. No, BS, the gun was in your hands. You handled it negligently. You are 100% responsible yourself. Okay. Then he says, I never touched the trigger. I never discharged that firearm. BS. That gun is not going to discharge all by itself. You did something. You did something. It's action versus reaction, my friends. And he did something to cause that gun to discharge. Now, if it's a single action, I imagine he cocked that hammer back. And if he said he never actually touched the trigger, my guess is that he maybe cocked that hammer back and released it before it was locked. And the hammer slammed down and discharged that single action revolver. Okay. That's if you believe his story that he never touched the trigger. He still caused it to discharge by not handling the firearm appropriately and not making sure that when he cocked that hammer back that it was locked back. So, if that hammer slips, if you don't let that hammer lock back all the way and you let it slip forward and it slams down on the firing pin, it's going to cause that revolver to discharge. Okay, so that's if you believe that he didn't touch the trigger. More likely to me is he touched the trigger. Okay, that hammer was cocked back and he touched the trigger. On a single action revolver, if you have the hammer cocked back, the trigger is very light. It doesn't take much to get that gun to discharge. A tiny little tap on that trigger and it's going to go boom. And my guess is that's exactly what happened. He wasn't ready for it. He didn't realize that it didn't take very much pressure at all. And he unintentionally touched that trigger and discharged that firearm. That is my guess of what happened. Make no mistake, though, my friends, it is absolutely his fault. It's his responsibility. He mishandled a firearm, and he should be charged. Anybody else would be charged, and this man needs to be charged as well. Rule number two, always keep your finger off the trigger unless you're ready to shoot. Okay, so remember this with guns, my friends. Rule number one is you always keep the muzzle pointed in a safe direction. No matter how bad you make a mistake, no matter how bad your firearm fails you, if the muzzle is always pointed in a safe direction, you're never going to hurt anybody. Rule number two, you always keep the finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Don't touch that trigger until you know you have a clear shot. You know what's in front of your target, you know what's behind your target, and you know that you're supposed to be aiming it where you're aiming it. Stick with me, friends. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here with more Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots. Welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris. It's good to be here today with you Saturday afternoon. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you guys are having a great week. And, you know, hopefully you're getting out there and enjoying the weather before the rains come. I want the rains to come, but hopefully you guys are out there and able to get the things that you need to get done before they hit too hard. So we were just talking about the incompetence of Alec Baldwin, his interview that he had where he said that he does not take any responsibility for what happened whatsoever, that he never touched the trigger, and that he won't point a gun at somebody. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a typical leftist liar. That's what they do. That's what the libs do. That's all they know how to do anymore, it seems like. You know, once upon a time, it wasn't that way. But in modern day times, if a liberal's moving their mouth, they're lying to you, my friends. That's a reality, okay? That's just a reality. Have you watched Joe Biden speak? Have you watched Kamala Harris speak? Have you watched Obama speak? Okay, anytime their lips are moving, they are lying. And Alec Baldwin is a flaming lib, and he's a liar. He is guilty, in my opinion, 100% guilty of the death of that director. And he needs to be held responsible for it. The firearm was in his hands. He pointed it, and somehow he caused that firearm to discharge. And we went over the reasons of how that could have happened, the ways that could have happened. But make no mistake, it happened because of his action. And I was saying at the very beginning, or at the very end of the last segment, that if that was you or I, if we didn't have the millions of dollars that he has and the representation that he has, we would probably already be charged for that crime. You know, speaking of that, that tragedy that happened with the school shooting this week. First of all, it's awful. Anytime there's a loss of life, it's completely awful, and it's tragic. And the way that this happened is absolutely tragic. To think that a classmate, a fellow student, a peer, a friend, could take a firearm and go and do things like that. It's mind-boggling. Every time it happens, I'm shocked. I just don't understand what goes through somebody's heart to get them to follow through with such a grotesque evil action. And I keep thinking about that, and it goes back to it was evil. You know what? We know that evil gets a foothold in this world, and evil is definitely prevalent, and more bad things are happening. And what happened was evil. And when I see and hear about things like that happen, that's the best explanation that there is. That's the best explanation that there is. Obviously, there must have been a lot going on in that child's life for him to do that. I'm sure we will never know everything. I think more and more stuff is going to start coming out. But first and foremost, my heart goes out to the families that lost loved ones, the friends that lost friends, the people that lost their lives. We're going to keep you all in our prayers. Now, that being said, again, the way they're demonizing the firearm doesn't make any sense. It was not the firearm that caused this. Firearms don't cause these types of crimes. This was a person that did this. And now, this week, they've announced that they're charging the family, the parents. Both of the parents are going to be charged for these crimes, negligent homicide, something to that effect. And that's alarming, and that should be something that bugs everybody. Our knee-jerk reaction when we're emotional is the parents should have done something better, or they should have had that gun locked up, or, you know, there's a million things you could say that's an emotionally charged argument. And when you have such a tragedy like what has taken place, and especially when, not that all lives aren't important, but it hits us harder when it's children, okay? We have these knee-jerk reactions, and we are emotionally driven and charged, and we look for blame, and we're going to find blame somewhere, even if it's not appropriate. And that's why the firearm gets blamed oftentimes. And now they're taking it a step further and they're blaming these parents. Now, I don't know anything about these parents. And like I said, I think we're going to learn more stuff. But I think it's a dangerous precedent to set, saying that if somebody does something, they're going to hold accountable whoever else is in their family. I don't think that's right. Would they do that if your son or daughter made a mistake and was texting on their cell phone when they were driving and they accidentally ran over somebody and killed them? Are they going to come after the parents for that? Are they going to hold the parents responsible for that? No, they won't. So they're picking one item, the firearm, and they're saying that if something bad happens, if somebody uses that item and commits a crime, that item and that item alone, the parents can be held responsible. I guarantee you, my friends, if that was a knife, and this has happened before. In fact, more people are injured with things like hammers and knives, injured and killed even, with these other weapons that are not firearms. If that kid took a steak knife from his parents' house and he went into that school and he went into a classroom and he stabbed 20 people, they're not going to be saying it was the knife and they got to go after the knife manufacturers and they got to ban knives and people shouldn't be allowed to own knives. They're not going to do that. And they're not going to say, and the parents are responsible. The parents need to be charged in this crime also because they didn't properly do something to prevent this from happening. They didn't lock up those knives. They didn't have any business owning those knives, and that's how he gained access to that. They won't do that. They're only doing this because they're trying to make headlines, and it's the attack on firearms. And think about it, friends. You know that they've been after our guns. You know that our Second Amendment has stood in their way for generations. Look at what's happening in this country right now with the vaccine mandates and the lockdowns and just all the liberties that they're trying to strip away from us. So many liberties they've successfully been able to strip away from us. What do you think is going to happen if they can do away with all our firearms? And that's the goal. They would love to get rid of all our firearms because they are the roadblock for more aggressive tactics. Stick with me. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back here with more Patriot Uprising Radio.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots. Welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris. It's good to be here today with you. We were just talking about the tragedy in Michigan and that school shooting that took place and the lives that were lost. And we were talking about what comes next now. And we know that every time something like this happens, they seek to try to strip us of our liberties, do away with our Second Amendment rights, try to villainize the gun manufacturers, the firearm industry, and make it so we're not able to have these and use them. And I was just talking about how this is the only thing that they do that with. If you run over somebody with a car, they don't come after the automobile company. And if somebody were to, you know, use a hammer or a knife to go out and commit some terrible crimes, they don't come after the knife company. And then the prosecutors now in Michigan, they've taken it a step further, and it's making me nervous because it's if they're successful, it's going to set a precedence that again, it would never be used for anything else other than a firearm related event, in my opinion. But they've charged these parents with the deaths of these kids because they say that they were responsible. In fact, the prosecutor, she actually says, "I want to be really clear that these charges are intended to hold the individuals who contributed to this tragedy accountable. So she's claiming that the parents contributed to the tragedy. Now, parents, I do believe we need to have a more active role in raising our children. And I do believe that a lot of the problem is there's too much government involvement and parents aren't being responsible and doing the things they need to do to raise their kids the right way and teach them things that they should be taught, like discipline and respect. And a lot of it's, you know, the society that we live in now, parents are afraid to discipline their children. You know, you're going to get shunned and looked at. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong. I'm going to say it right now. I think kids, when they're growing up, they probably need some spankings. I think that teaches them some life lessons. I don't think it makes them monsters. I don't think it makes them abusers. And I think there's a way to do that that doesn't make you an abuser, but you still are teaching your kids valuable life lessons. But society nowadays, they don't want us to discipline our children in any shape or form. You know, we can't even talk sternly to our kids without it being frowned upon by today's societal standards. You know, our society today doesn't even want us to be honest with children. If your kid comes home confused and thinks that they feel like a girl, we can't tell them there's only two genders. You're a boy. I'm sorry. It's just what's right is wrong, what wrong is right, and everything is upside down, and society doesn't let parents raise kids, and kids are not being raised with the life lessons they need to be responsible, successful adults. And oftentimes we see mental issues, discipline issues, anger issues, and it's not dealt with at the age that it should have been dealt with because parents just, they're afraid to do it anymore. So these prosecutors are going after the parents saying that they need to be held accountable for this tragedy, that they're responsible for it taking place. Now, if you're a firearm owner, you absolutely should take precautions. You should make sure that your firearms aren't, you know, easily accessed and do what you need to do to protect them from getting into the hands of you know, bad individuals or people that just have no business touching them, okay? I always tell people in my firearms classes that sometimes you lock up your guns because you're not afraid of them getting stolen by the bad guy because you want to protect your family from themselves. And when I say that, it's because I'm thinking about young ones, little ones, people that don't have the education yet. And, you know, the people that just don't know how to handle a firearm safely yet, but they might be curious about them. You got to take precautions to make sure that they can't easily access these firearms. I'm also a huge advocate of making sure that your children are educated on firearms and firearm safety. You know, the second they pop out of the womb, it's never too early. It's never too early. If you have guns in your house, my friends, start teaching your kids. You can't do it early enough. I guarantee it. And you're going to take curiosity right out of the equation. And they're not going to be as apt to be messing and handling with these firearms in secret or when you're not around. My kids, if they want to see a gun, absolutely. It's an open book. If they want to handle, if they want to take it out and shoot it, no problem. I'm going to let them do that all the time. And you know what? They're building these skills and they're confident in how they use these firearms and handle these firearms. And we're teaching the right behaviors. We're teaching positive, we're reinforcing positive habits. And that's what it is. That's why when I teach the firearm rules of safety, I never say, don't do this, don't do that. I always say, you always keep the muzzle pointed in a safe direction. Mentally, we're reinforcing a positive habit. Okay. You always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. You always handle every firearm like it's loaded. Okay. So we're reinforcing positive habits, and you can't do that early enough with kids. Now, saying that if a kid has a short fuse and somehow mom and dad are at work and he figures out how to get access to a firearm and goes out and commits this heinous act, I don't think you pin that on the parents. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. And where do you draw the line on that? Like I said, I don't think they would do that with anything other than firearms. And firearms should not be singled out. You can't hold somebody else responsible. Or you can't hold somebody responsible for somebody else's actions. It's just not right. It's not fair. And it's a terrible precedent to set. So we need to pay attention to that. I hope that those charges don't stick. I hope that they get thrown out. I think it's dangerous, and I know these parents are grieving, and their world is upside down. This is the biggest nightmare of their life. I'm 100% sure. I'm sure they're trying to understand what happened, why, how. Their son's done, okay? Their son is going to be locked up, hopefully forever. That's the other thing. I think a lot of the way that we prevent crimes like this, crime in general, we need to stop pussyfarting around and stop, you know, just slapping their hands and putting them back out on the street. They need to know that there are serious consequences for the crimes that they're committing, and they need to be held accountable. And we need to stop letting people out or stop trying to reform people. We need to understand that some people are so mentally gone, we can't reform them, and they don't belong out in society ever again. And I don't care if you're a 15-year-old kid. If you're a 15-year-old kid that snapped and you went up and shot up a bunch of your classmates, you need to be charged as an adult, and you need to be put in prison, and you need to stay there the rest of your life. And I'll take it a step further. I think we need to start using the death penalty more often. I think it's a great deterrent. And why are we paying for these criminals that will never get out of jail? Why are we paying for them to sit in jail forever? All that tax dollars, it doesn't make any sense. Let's start using the death penalty. If people realize that we've had enough and we're going to start prosecuting and holding people accountable, and the punishment is going to be severe, up to and including the death penalty, I think people might think twice. But right now, there's no reason not to do anything because, you know what? The punishment's never severe anymore. People aren't scared of getting in trouble because the punishment is nothing. Our society has made it so hard to hold anybody accountable, anybody responsible. Unless you happen to be these two parents that are going through their worst nightmare and their son committed a horrible tragedy and he's going away for a long time. And now the prosecutor's saying that they're charged as well, that they're going to be held accountable and responsible. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. And I think it's a double standard. And I think it should scare everybody. So this was a tragedy. I don't know how you avoid all situations like this. Some things are out of our control. The reason it's national news and the reason they're talking about it, it's because they're using this, like they use all of these types of shootings, to try to attack our Second Amendment rights. That's it. Okay? They're not going to tell you that the same week in Chicago, there is 20 people that got shot and killed. They're not going to tell you that because it doesn't fit their narrative. Okay? Because the crime in Chicago doesn't fit their narrative. The black-on-black crime in Chicago doesn't fit their narrative. Okay? So that's the thing. Crime happens all the time. There's murders that take place every single week. And places like Chicago and California and New York and, you know, they have high crime. And really, across the country anymore, we're getting high crime. Portland gun violence, or I shouldn't say gun violence, because it's not necessarily gun violence. It's people violence. It's gang violence, okay? It goes back to no accountability, no responsibility, no punishments, okay? And people are committing heinous acts against each other. They're committing crimes left and right. Portland's a cesspool. Seattle's a cesspool. And yeah, sometimes guns are involved in these heinous acts. But it's not the gun's fault. But you know what? They're using this school shooting because it pulls at our heartstrings. It's kids and it's in a school, so they can use that to try to attack our Second Amendment rights. We can't let them do that, my friends. We need to say, how come you're so concerned about that school and those deaths, but you're not concerned about what happens in Chicago every single weekend? Double standards, my friends. Stick with me. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here with more Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots. Welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris. It's good to be here today with you. Time flies when you're having fun. We've been talking about a lot of stuff. We talked about Alec Baldwin and his lack of integrity and moral turpitude and just his, how do you say it? Just, you know what? He's just an idiot, friends. He's just a liar and... We know that he is responsible. He should be held accountable for the death of his director. And when the gun is in his hands and it discharges, it's all him. It's all him. That's all I'm going to say about that. I thought his interview was disgusting. And I hope everybody that watched that just got sick to their stomach thinking about the excuses he's trying to make and the way he's trying to pass this off on somebody else. We talked about the school shooting in Michigan and that terrible tragedy, and now how the prosecutors are trying to hold the parents accountable, and they've actually charged them now, and they're saying it's their fault that the kid got the guns, and I think that's a dangerous precedent. I think we need to watch this closely. If they're successful with this, they're going to come after everybody. Again, I don't think they'll do it for anything but firearms, but... this is just one more infringement, one more attack on our Second Amendment rights. And that's what their goal is. If they can do away with our Second Amendment, they're going to be pushing this socialism agenda faster than we know what to do. And remember, the fact that we have the right to keep and bear arms is the one thing that's keeping these tyrants at bay. I guarantee that, my friends. That is the one thing that's keeping these tyrants at bay. So we need to make sure that we hold on to those Second Amendment rights and we exercise our Second Amendment freely without restrictions. Okay. I want to talk about a couple other things real quick. We don't have a whole lot of time, but The View, those cesspools of ladies that are on the View and the crap that they're always stirring and talking. It's disgusting. I can't watch it. I haven't watched The View in years. I see the news clips whenever they say something outrageous. But I did want to point out that Whoopi Goldberg, crazy liberal, crazy leftist, and, you know, she's one of these people that is always preaching to everybody, and she talks like her opinion's the only one that matters. And she's going off on The View the other day. And she's talking about the Supreme Court case that they're reviewing right now. We won't have an answer for that for several weeks, probably, maybe months. But obviously, this abortion case that they heard, it was a real – the way it was presented to the Supreme Court and the testimony that the lawyers did and the witnesses did, I think it has the potential to have a real hardcore blow to the left, to the pro-abortion people, the pro-baby killers. And I think that there's a good opportunity that this case could set the precedents to overturn Roe v. Wade. And a lot of the legal minds, the experts, the scholars that heard this case, they agree that the things that were talked about in this case and the questions that were specifically answered by the justices, it's setting the tone to overturn Roe v. Wade. So basically, Roe v. Wade, if that's overturned, that doesn't mean that abortions are just boom, they're illegal, right? No, it basically gives the power back to the states. So what you're going to have is a mixed mosh of different states doing different things. Wisconsin's going to be able to have their more strict abortion laws. There might be states that say no abortions at all. And then there's going to be these left-leaning states, these blue states, that are going to have some pretty disgusting abortion laws that are going to let people have late-term abortions. People are so sick. Hey, you know what? That baby's born and alive and breathing. You don't want it? We'll just take care of it right here. As long as you don't leave the hospital, we can abort that baby for you. That's the mentality of a lot of these people on the left. They're disgusting. They're baby killers, okay? So if Roe v. Wade is overturned, it doesn't mean abortions are, boom, gone and illegal. It means that the states have the power through legislation. The people can vote in their state and decide how they want their state to handle that, which that's a good thing. That's the way our Constitution is written. Now, I'd love them to say abortions are illegal across the board, but we do have to respect the Constitution. And we need to understand why the Constitution was written the way that it was. And the states are supposed to have the power. The federal government is way too powerful. They have their nose in way too much stuff. The power needs to be returned back to the people via the states. Okay, so that's what happens if Roe v. Wade's overturned, and there's a good chance that is going to come up depending on how these justices rule on this case that they heard this week. But it does – I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. Everything I've heard about it and the testimony that I watched on it, it seemed like there's really only one way the judges could rule, you know? And, so we're going to keep our fingers crossed. But did you know that, the United States is actually worse with allowing abortions than most places in the world? It's pretty sad. We always try to put ourselves on a pillar and we try to, you know, think that we're better than other places, but you know what? We're kind of like right in lines with North Korea when it comes to abortion. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, especially in Europe, these other countries, they don't put up with it. They have a lot more restrictions when it comes to abortions. The United States is incredibly liberal. It's actually embarrassing. It's really disgusting. And more importantly, it's wrong. And it's sad what we're doing to these babies, killing all this innocent life. But so Whoopi is having a fit because she knows they're talking on The View about this case, and she knows it's not looking too good for the libs, for the baby killers that like to do this and practice this. It's looking really bad for them. And so she's going off and she was talking about some of the testimony, and she says, "Do any of you men have any eggs or the possibility of carrying a fetus?" And I laughed when she said that. Do any of you men have eggs or the possibility of carrying a fetus? And I laugh because it just goes to show that, Whoopi, you can't have your cake and eat it too, right? What's it going to be? Is there multiple genders or is there only two genders? You know, are you dare saying that you want to deny my rights to identify as a woman? That's what I got out of this. I mean, here's this lady that preaches all the time about transgenders and there's multiple genders and people can be whoever they want to be and do whatever they want to do. And, you know, science deniers, you know, science has proved over and over again that there's only two genders. That's the way it works. Okay. And that's what the left likes to shove down our throat until it doesn't work for them anymore. So now she's all about science, right? She's all about there's only two genders and men cannot carry a baby. Men don't have the womb. They don't have the eggs. And she's just going crazy about this. And it just made me chuckle because it shows their true colors. They don't stand for anything. They don't stand for anything, my friends. And they'll change their mind, you know, as things blow in the wind differently. And seeing her have a meltdown, it made me smile because she answered the question. I'm going to use that against her for the next several years. Every time somebody tries to argue this stuff, I'm going to say, yeah, but your savior on The View, Whoopi Goldberg, she says that men don't have any eggs, they don't have a womb, and they can't possibly be carrying a fetus. Straight from the horse's mouth. So, like I said, Whoopi, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I know you like cake, and we can tell you like cake. But you cannot have your cake and eat it too. Last thing I want to say, because we are out of time, my friends, but all this mandate stuff, it's still going crazy. Now we got the new Omicron variant that they're trying to scare everybody with. They're talking about more shutdowns. They're talking about more vaccine mandates and vaccine passports to travel. All of that completely wrong and unconstitutional. Germany, my friends, they're already talking about how unvaccinated people aren't going to have access to non-essential businesses anymore. So kind of reminds me, of course, it had to be the Germans. Do they not study history? Think back maybe those people should have a gold star sewn on their coat so we know who they are before they can access these non-essential businesses. It blows my mind that Germany, of all places, is saying stuff like this. So I guess they really haven't changed. But this is what I want to tell you guys, and I want you to think about this. If you believe that the government has the right to mandate the COVID vaccine and to enforce these vaccine passport requirements, I'm going to tell you right now, my friends, you are the problem. You are more dangerous to your fellow citizens and your country than any virus ever will be. Think about that. God bless you guys. We'll catch you next week right here on Patriot Uprising Radio. Stay strong, stay safe out there.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.